Praise the Lord.
March 13th, nice sunny day, sun shining on the snow outside, so we get a little glare, which is good because it's not overcast. I want to talk this morning about the goodness of God. I'll reference it again, and we're not going there, but in Psalm 107, it says many times, "Oh, that men would give thanks to God for His goodness, for His goodness to the children of men." And then it goes on to talk about people doing things against God's word and God bringing afflictions and turmoil upon them, and they turn and give praise. "Oh, that men would give thanks to God, praise to God for His goodness to the children of men." It talks about those that go down to the sea in ships, seeing the hand of God, and all of these different things in there. It's mentioned quite a few times within that psalm, that phrase, "Oh, that men would give thanks to God for His goodness to the children of men." I'm reminded reading that God's goodness is not determined by our circumstances. I remember at a Bible study years ago, 95-ish, something along those lines, some people got up and said, "Praise God, God is so good. We were almost ran over by an 18-wheeler. But God protected us." And they sat down. And the next person stood up and said, "Praise God, God is so good that even if you had been killed by that 18-wheeler, it wouldn't have affected the goodness of God." God's goodness is not affected by how it affects us. But God's goodness is evident in His reaching out. That it is not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Romans 8, beginning with verse 28. Everybody knows it. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He loved, He foreknew. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. And whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" As we are called by God, God is at work in us, work in our circumstances to mold us into the image of His Son. To mold us, to be faithful witnesses of who God is. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And that's the image we are to be transformed into, of a representation, a representative of who God is. You probably heard this, that you're the only Bible many people will ever read. That what they see in you gives them an indication of who God is. So our lives should be set in such a way, our lives should be lived out in such a way that we give glory to God. And that's what the Scripture tells us. That God is working all things together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. God's not just working the good and pleasant things for good. He's working all things for good. And the goodness of God is evident in that He is working in us and working in our circumstances for a predetermined, desired course. The picture on the front of the bulletin, that passage of Scripture there, Psalm 145, 9, says, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." God is good to all. But what does that good look like? Psalm 107 says sometimes the goodness of God is God brings affliction and brings turmoil in our lives so that we will draw close to Him. God allows things to happen in our lives so that we will seek His face. And sometimes God allows things in our life and we're already seeking His face. We're already following hard after Him. We're already doing all we know to do. God is already being glorified in our lives. But sometimes things come up in our life because it's working in somebody else's life. How we react to the things we go through becomes a witness and a testimony to the people around us. Years ago, Howard was still the pastor here. That one crazy Sunday in April, April 15th or 18th. I don't remember which one. Because if it was the 15th, it was 18 inches of snow. If it was the 18th, it was 15 inches of snow. That's what I remember. That day that leaving here, I went to ease over a little bit to let somebody pass me, and I went into the ditch right up here on Route 2. And my bride looks up at me from the low side of the car and says, "You never pull over for somebody in a snowstorm." So those of you that are listening to this online, you miss the illustration that I always do with that. And I'm leaning way over to my side and imitating Debbie down in the bottom, on the low side of the car. But my car being in the ditch very probably saved the life of the next person who went off the road because they totaled my car rather than flipping upside down into the water. What's God doing? We may not know. One day I will know even as also I am known. I'm looking forward to that because there's a lot of things I don't understand. But I know that God is at work, and I know that God is good, and I know that God is faithful. In Exodus 34, beginning with verse 5, Moses is on Mount Sinai. He's already destroyed one set of tablets. He's back up. Now, he's fasted 40 days. He's been on the mountains 40 days and 40 nights. In the presence of God, he went down and found the mess that Israel was in. He threw down the tablets. He ground up the golden calf and made him drink it. He was having a bad day. He was a little upset. He goes back up the mountain for another 40 days. And here he's talking to God. And he says, "God, show me your glory." Verse 5, "Now the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord." Stop there for just a minute. Remember, both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, the words that are translated into name mean character, honor, and authority. It's not how we think of name in modern English. It means the character, honor, and authority. He declared the name of the Lord. He declared exactly who he was. "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.'" Stop right there for just a minute. God declared his character, honor, and authority by saying he was merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth and merciful, keeping mercy to thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. God declaring who he is says he's abounding in goodness. And if God, who knows everything, and it's impossible for God to lie, and God says he's good, guess what? When our circumstances don't seem to line up with that, we're missing something. Declaring the goodness of God. Verse 8, "So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. Then he said, 'If now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance.'" Lord, you declared that you are good. You declared that you are merciful. You declared that you are long-suffering. You declared that you forgive sin and iniquity and transgression. Come among us. And you know what he did. And still does in our own lives, in our own selves. In 2 Samuel 7, beginning with verse 27, David talking, says, "For you, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, have revealed this to your servant, saying, 'I will build you a house.' Therefore, your servant has found it in his heart to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this goodness to your servant. Now, therefore, let it please you to bless this house Bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. For you, O Lord God, have spoken it, and with your blessing, let the house of your servant be blessed forever. David said, God, you promised your goodness to me, and I'm coming in agreement with that. Lord, let your goodness fall upon me. Lord, let your goodness fall upon each and every one of us. For you had declared that you are good, you are gracious, you are forgiving, you are loving, you are long-suffering, you are merciful. Lord, let it be manifest in my life. Let it be manifest in each of our lives, Father, that we may declare and proclaim and illustrate God's goodness to the people around us, for you've called us to be faithful witnesses. Jesus said, I do only the things that please my Father. That's what we're shooting for. That's what we're striving for. That's what we're reaching for. That our lives be the testimony of Jesus, because we're called to conform into the image of His Son. We read that in Romans. Called to be transformed into the image of His Son, into the very illustration of who God is on this earth, walking in His righteousness, knowing His grace, walking in His mercy. Lord, you have declared your goodness. As David prayed, Lord, let it fall. Let it happen. Let it be manifest in my life. Let it be manifest in my family, in my house, Lord. Psalm 33, beginning with verse 1. It says, Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to Him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His work is done in truth. The Lord loves righteousness and justice, and the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The Lord's ways are manifest. Romans tells us that we're without excuse because the things of God are visible in His creation. Looking out the window at that tree right there, I may not understood all the things that goes into it, but I know about chlorophyll, and I know about the moisture and the nutrients coming up from the roots, and how the very leaves, in this case what do they call them? Needles? Yeah. But in the chlorophyll, taking the carbon dioxide out of the air and creating oxygen, and all of the things that God has done, just demonstrated in that, to show who He is, to make provision for us and care for us. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And every place we look, if we will take the time to stop and think, if we will take the time to stop and acknowledge and to recognize that God has done wondrous things, that everything around us is a gift of God and for a purpose. In Romans 2, beginning with verse 1, is an interesting passage. Sometimes it's an interesting one to read to a congregation. It's one thing you're looking at it by yourself. It's something else to be looking out at people and saying, therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Stop right there. Remember my reference to Psalm 107, where it keeps talking about how, you know, men should give praise to God for His goodness displayed to the children of men, in that He puts them through difficulties so that they might seek His face. It says right here in Romans, verse 4, oh, do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? The goodness of God working in our lives is what draws us to Him. What working in our circumstances, it was what causes us to open our eyes and seek His face. Or even to draw closer to Him, or also to recognize what God is doing in the lives of others around us. Recognizing that how we react to things going on in our lives becomes part of the testimony and part of the witness of who God is in our lives. Do we face difficulty and complain about it, or do we face difficulty and praise God? Do we bear with whatever we're going through, or do we just, you know, panic and freak out and forget that, oh, by the way, we are bought with a price. Forget that, oh, by the way, God knows everything that's going on. God has already promised to work it together for good. God, I don't know how you're going to make anything good out of this, but I believe your word is true. I trust in your goodness. I trust, Father, that as you declared goodness to Moses in declaring who you are, in declaring your character, honor, and authority, recognizing that no matter what I seem to understand about what's going on, you are still good, you are still faithful, and you are worthy of my praise. No matter what my circumstances are, no matter what situation I'm facing, no matter what's going on around me, you are good, you are gracious, you are loving, and you are at work in the circumstances. You are not surprised by any difficulties we may face. You are not caught off guard by any temptation we face and fail, or whatever the situation is. Nothing that happens is a surprise to you. All of our days are written in the book before ever any of them were. Also, we read back here in back in Romans 8, that whom he predestined, these he called, who he called, he justified, who he justified, those he glorified. You're already at work fulfilling that which he's laid out for us for to happen. Continuing on, Romans 2, verse 5. But in accordance with the hardness of your impertinent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those by whom by patient continuance in doing good works seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anger on every soul who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. What Paul says here is God is working in us His long suffering to bring us repentance. His goodness, verse 4, His goodness, forbearance, and long suffering is what leads us to repentance. And for those who don't repent, there's still the punishment that lays out there. But that goodness and forbearance of God is reaching out to touch and draw hearts, reaching out to touch and draw people to Himself. And that means when we're going through this life, dealing with difficult people, we need to have the grace and mercy and love of God to recognize that it's not God's will that they should perish, but to continue to lift them up. To not become an obstacle, but to declare the goodness of God, and knowing that even people seeming to get away with bad things is part of God's goodness in reaching out to them. And part of God's goodness and grace in drawing them to repentance and giving them an opportunity. And remember that we also were at one time enemies of God. Some worse than others, but all of us, for all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that some worse than others is a human judgment, because in God's mind all sin is sin. You know, when you break... It doesn't talk about breaking a commandment. It talks about breaking the commandments. It talks about breaking the law. Because it's all, you know, you're not guilty of Article 4, subsection B, paragraph I. We're guilty of breaking the law of God. God's standard is perfection. In and of ourselves, we can't do that. But through the grace of God, we stand before the throne of God righteous. But recognizing that our standing with God is His gift to us. And so many others have not yet allowed God to do that in their lives. But it's not God's will that any should perish. God continues to reach out. That long-suffering of God, which we just read about here, that long-suffering of God is that it would draw people to repentance. The goodness of God is that even wicked people can come to know the grace and mercy and love of God, just as He's done in our lives. Praise God. Last passage, Psalm 27, verse 11. It says, "Teach me Your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. How do we face the obstacles of our life? Knowing that God is good. He has declared it. He declared it to Moses. He declared it as part of laying out who He was. The Lord God, full of goodness and mercy. Gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, declaring who He is. Unless I believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living, I would have lost heart, the psalmist says. When our difficulties arrive, recognize that God is still God. God is still good. God is still at work in the circumstances. He has not brought us this far to leave us here. We sang second song. Talking about that Ebenezer stone. This far the Lord has been my help. God hasn't given up on us. He has not brought us this far to leave us. He's brought us this far because it's part of the path that He has us on. And He is at work. So when obstacles arise, when difficulties come, when problems get in our way, hold out and have faith that you will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Because He is still at work in the circumstances. I will declare God's goodness to this generation. I will declare God's faithfulness to the people. I will declare who He is by living my life, showing grace and showing mercy to others, by being a faithful witness to the Lord. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Father, for Your grace and for Your mercy. We do thank You, Lord, that Your goodness is given to each of us, that You have been merciful in our lives, that You have shown Yourself mighty on our behalf, and that You are at work in the circumstances, even when the circumstances don't make worldly sense. Even when we don't understand what's going on, we trust and rely that You are God and that You are at work, and we trust You and we love You. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen.